Insightful podcasts by informative hosts. Insights into Things, a podcast network.
Welcome to Insights into Entertainment, a podcast series taking a deeper look into entertainment and media. Your hosts, Joseph and Michelle Whalen, a husband and wife team of pop culture fanatics, are exploring all things from music and movies to television and fandom.
Welcome to Insights into Entertainment. This is episode 147, Disney Dissected. I am your host, Joseph Whalen, and my patient and understanding co-host, Michelle Whalen.
Hi, everyone.
So what makes you patient and understanding for this episode, dear?
I don't know. I'm kind of confused.
It's because you were patient and understanding with me when I was down in Disney.
Oh, okay. I thought that's what it was, but I wasn't completely sure. I didn't divorce you while we were away. That is true.
So. And welcome back to the show, by the way.
Thank you.
A couple of episodes off while Sam sort of stepped in for the topics he wanted to do.
Yep.
So this is your first time back in the studio recording for almost 2 months now, isn't it?
I can't even remember because I did an Insights into Tomorrow episode.
Right. You
so
in
we
for him
we kind of filled, and then we were trying to find other topics to talk about to give Sam some more time doing the entertainment stuff, and me, and it just never. There wasn't anything that.
Nothing jumping out.
So.
But he kind of took to the entertainment side, so he may come in and fill in for you more often. We'll
see. There you go.
Today we are talking about dissecting Disney, and this is really about our trip to Disney.
Right.
So as previously promised on this podcast, this week we bring you our review of the current state of Disney parks in Florida. Having spent a week down in somewhat sunny, often rainy, and oppressively hot Florida, we've had a chance to see if Disney has been able to bring the magic back. We'll take a look at the resort we stayed at, the amenities offered, and the service at the resort. And then we'll take a look at some of the technology that Disney's trying to throw at its guests to justify the drawbacks of a lack of service in some parts, but a cost as well. As they pretend to give you more services.
Right.
And finally, we'll talk about our experiences at three of the four parks, because we don't really go to Animal Kingdom because it kind of sucks. But
Other people enjoy that park.
We don't.
We don't. It's not one of our favorites.
And it's not an all-day park for us, even if we do go.
Right.
And we'll talk about where those parks stand compared to our previous visits. Before we do that, though, I do want to invite our listening and viewing audience to subscribe to the podcast. You can find audio versions of this podcast listed as Insights into Entertainment. You can also find audio and video versions of all the network's podcasts listed as Insights into Things, and we're available any place you can get a podcast these days. I would also invite you to write in, give us your feedback, tell us how we're doing. Give us your show suggestions, what you want us to talk about. You can email us at comments@insightsintothings.com. We're on Twitter at @insights_things, or you can visit us on our official website at www.insightsintothings.com for all of our social media links. Are we ready?
Sure.
Let's go. So the resort. So this was our first time back since COVID hit. It's been over 2 years since we've been back. Tried to take it kind of light. We didn't go overboard on this time. We actually did sell our DVC in the interim since our last time down.
Correct.
So we weren't staying at a DVC resort. We stayed at All Star Movies.
Correct.
So what was your first impression of the resort itself?
Overall, I really didn't notice much of a difference. One of the things that they've been pushing even before COVID started was getting you to do online check-in in advance of your reservation so that you didn't have to go to the front desk for check-in. And again, like I said, that's been something that was going on before COVID even happened, because we would normally do that where we would check in a couple of weeks beforehand. And then usually once we got down to the area, we would get a text message saying our room was ready and we could just go to our room because we already had Magic Band. So there was no need to go to get a key or anything like that. So that was still in place. So again, we didn't go to the front desk. Basically, the only thing that we checked in with was security. Once we first got there, you know, showing RD, they basically, yep, you're here. And, you know, we kind of went on our merry little way. And probably within, I don't know, 20 minutes of us getting to the physical resort, we got a text message that our room was ready. But we had gone to the main building to go get lunch and kind of walk around a little bit before we actually made our way. So, again, nothing really seemed that different from the last time. Of course, it's been probably 3 or 4 years maybe since we've been at an All-Stars or a value resort, because again, we were using our DVC for most of the trip. So again, I didn't notice anything major, you know, different in it. Obviously, and we'll talk about it, you know, that the rooms have obviously been updated since the last time we had stayed at a value resort.
Yeah, and that's really the biggest thing I think that I noticed about the resort was they pulled out all the carpeting because it was always themed rooms. It was always some kind of, you know, print carpet on there that was relevant to the building that you're in or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
We happened to be staying in Dalmatians while we were there. But they pulled it out. You had all hardwood floors. Mm-hmm. You had all brand new furniture.
Correct.
You had really what was an innovative approach to furniture, where you had a convertible bed.
Right. You had sort of a Murphy bed that when the Murphy bed was up, it was actually a table.
Right.
So that, and it was so funny because I think the first time we went to convert it, we were like, what do we do? Like, there were no instructions when all you really had to do was just pull it down. So you just had to make sure that the table was cleared off.
What was nice about it was the use of space was much better than it had been with two beds in there.
Yes.
The problem was is that when we come in, me specifically, I come in with
a load of
technology. And what I'll do is I'll set up on the table and leave it there for the duration. And unfortunately, we didn't have that option here because the table went away at night because we had to use the bed.
Right, right. So I could totally see if it was something where you were maybe only, you know, two people in a room and you didn't need to have that second bed all the time, that you could, you know, easily leave everything. But I could see for anybody that had three or more people, you would always have to transform your room or just leave your bed down, but then you didn't have
Any surface space.
So that would have been a nice thing if they had something where they had like a flip down table attached to the wall.
Yeah, like an IKEA style table.
Right, where you could just flip it down and this way put the chairs, because you still had two chairs.
Right, you had to do something with the chairs
from the table. Right, and that was what was so funny, was like seeing other rooms, what people did with their chairs. Now, the other thing, too, that we had was you rented a scooter from an outside company, so we had it in our room. So that kind of ate up some of the room, some of the surface room of the hotel room. So a lot of people would put their chairs against the window. There was actually one that actually just put them outside.
Yeah.
I guess they needed, you know, that much more room. So it was kind of, you didn't know what to do with the chairs once the bed was down. Like, there was no specific, you know, area. It was basically, okay, well, we'll put it over here for today.
So they upgraded the bathroom area as well.
Yes.
So traditionally what you had was you have a small bathroom that has a shower and a toilet, and then your sink is outside in sort of like a little prep area.
Right.
And that, for privacy in that area, you typically have a curtain that goes
across.
Well,
it was funny because I remember years ago they didn't have the curtain.
Right. You had nothing there originally.
So that this way, if somebody was brushing their teeth, it was out in the open, but where the sink, where the bathtub and shower and the toilet are, there was always a door.
Right.
And then at some point they added a curtain so that this way, if you wanted to get changed and, you know, have, so they, you know, so they evolved.
So that's been evolved into a barn door style sliding door.
Right.
For additional privacy. But what really struck me was they replaced the door, the swing door on hinges in the bathroom area with a telescoping door.
Right.
That slid in behind the wall itself. Which I thought was a brilliant use of space. Like, that's one thing that they really did was when they redid the rooms, they did things to maximize that space. Like, over where your cooler, because you don't have a refrigerator anymore, where the cooler is, there's a piece of furniture that's kind of like a little breakfast nook type thing.
Right,
so,
because they had a coffee maker.
Right.
Like a single-use coffee maker there. They had your ice bucket there. And then there was a drawer.
For all drink accessories.
For, had like the coffees and the teas and everything to go with the coffee. And that area you could kind of use as a bar.
Right.
You know, your beverage keeping, you know, snack area.
Like a beverage
area.
Cart, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So the room was okay. There were a few issues with it. The one thing we noticed when we got in there was the lock plate on the door was loose and eventually fell off.
Right.
The room phone did not work.
And that we only found out because we went to call the front desk one time and went.
So we couldn't call the front desk from the phone. We tried to use the app, and we'll get into the app a little bit later, but we tried to use the app, and that didn't work either.
Right.
So you happened to find one of the maid service, and they were able to call
someone. Housekeeping, and they got a hold of somebody.
Because we had multiple issues with plumbing
there,
where they had to come and sneak the toilet. And it wasn't just us. There were three other instances where I saw them walking around with the snake.
Oh, wow. So it was other people. Okay.
So it was an issue with the hotel itself.
Okay. Okay.
What else did we have? Drainage. Oh, my goodness. It rained and you had literally swampland if you were walking around the outside.
And that's something just in general with Disney. You can find on TikTok and YouTube other people posting videos from the park.
Sure.
Where
But I've never
it gets,
had that experience. And all the resorts that we've been there before.
Yeah, I don't think
before,
we've ever noticed.
Never, because someone would be out there taking care of it.
True.
They may have had drainage issues.
In the past,
but
we
never
just,
apparent
we just never
the,
noticed it.
Guests.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah.
And the one area by the parking lot that had the big drainage issue, they had one of the grounds crew come through on one of their little John Deere's and track mud all over the sidewalk in the process of doing that.
Right,
it's like,
right.
And no one cleaned that up.
Mm.
It's starting to look a little run down and tired. There were a couple of areas there. They were basically fire hydrant areas that weren't maintained. They were rusted. The paint was coming off.
Okay.
So it was very un-Disney-like. You know, Disney is always, even at the discount resorts like that, they've always kept up with it, and it just seems like it's kind of run down. The first day we got there, the elevator, one of the two elevators was offline. It took them most of the day to get that one fixed.
Well, they were cleaning the, I don't know what you call it, on the top where they had like plastic panels covering the lights, because when we had gotten up to our room or down, I don't remember, I ended up seeing the maintenance, and they were basically just cleaning. So there wasn't anything wrong with the elevator. They were actually just cleaning it.
I
so.
See. And then really the only other big complaint I had about the resort was you had someone out there for the better part of a day who was pressure washing one of the staircases at the end of the building.
Right.
And just the fumes, because it was an internal combustion engine compressor they were using, you were gagging as soon as you walked out of your room. Mm. Now, granted, it was hot, it was humid, the air wasn't good to begin with.
Right. It might not have been a good day to do that.
You know, yeah, I mean, have a little, you know, wait for people to at least leave and go to the parks, because this was like, you know, first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
They're doing this, yeah, this type of stuff. So, room service. So, where we normally don't do room service, we'll put our Do Not Disturb sign out there. They used to do daily room service.
Correct.
And now they're down to every other day, every three days or something.
And I think it's every 4 days if you're DVC.
Yeah. And to me, that's a significant drop in service, because they didn't reduce the cost of the room at all.
Right.
In fact, it went up and you're getting less service there. So that was a ding, I think, in my book. Paying for parking. Still one of my biggest pet peeves that I have there.
Right. And again, going back to that whole, hey, we didn't check in, there was nothing ever said in anything.
Right.
Like, hey, by the way, because for the most part, this was actually one of the first times that we didn't charge things back to the room. One, because we had done a whole gift card thing. Yeah. So that was a good portion of our charges. And then we just charged it on to our various credit cards, because in most cases, if you were using a Disney credit card and your bill was a certain amount, you would actually get 10% off. Whereas if you were charging it back to the room, you weren't going to get that discount. So it wasn't until the end of our stay when we actually got our portfolio and I was like, oh, what were all these charges? And opened it up and it was parking. That was literally all it was. And that's where, again, we've been there since they've been charging for parking. So it wasn't a shock for us. But what if this was our first time and we didn't know? That's something, granted, yes, it's not the security officer's job checking you in, but if you're doing the mobile check-in, if you're checking in, you know, online beforehand, something should pop up saying, hey, by the way, just so you know, if you're driving, you're going to have this $15 a day or whatever.
How did they know that we were driving is what I'd like to know.
Well, because we checked in with security, that was what.
So that could have been a rental car we had for one day and got rid of it. Or we could have been getting dropped off by someone. How do they know that you're parking there?
Well, and then that's the thing, is that we would have had to.
You know, I would dispute that charge because it was never detailed anywhere on the original bill.
And that's the other thing, too, because what used to happen is when you would go to the front desk and check in, they would ask you, oh, are you, you know, staying on property? Because they would give you a parking permit.
Right.
So now they don't even print out.
And
they'd
get your license plate number.
Right. But they got my license plate number when we checked in, because security there was a camera towards the back that could see my tags.
So they're nickel and diming you there, mm-hmm. which was very annoying.
Right.
We bought the mugs, which I didn't want to do, but you thought it'd be a good idea to buy the mugs.
Right.
And the quality of mugs have gone down significantly. Mm-hmm. They've got the cheapest lids. The lids kept falling off. I almost lost the lid twice. It's just, I was very disappointed at mm-hmm. that, but that's there to support the fact that you can't get multiple refills. You know, you buy a disposable cup from them, you pay $4 for it, and you're allowed 3 refills within an hour or two or something like that, which is idiotic. It really is.
Right.
Because Disney is not losing money on me getting a refill on my soda.
And granted, you almost never got a refill on your soda.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So
and the problem that I have,
but
with
the fact
is
that they,
you're charging
do
me
that.
$4 for a soda, where 90% of the cost of that drink is cup.
Just the cup, yeah.
And you're
yeah.
putting a chip in that cup now, so I can't get refills, which makes the cup more expensive. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's an idiotic business model that they have there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to go on with any other complaints about the resort. Did you have any highlights? Any positives? Anything nice to say to counter any of my complaints?
Well, the one thing I did like, which was new, I think, since the last time we were there, is that they actually have, when you go to the buses, if you're taking the resort transportation, because usually most of the time, if we didn't have the scooter already, we would usually just drive to the park. This way we wouldn't have to worry about waiting for a bus or anything else. But because of the scooter, we had to use the transportation. And one of the nice things was, as soon as you got to the area, they had a little schedule showing you when the next bus, you know, estimated time when the next bus for the different locations was going to be coming. So that I thought was very helpful.
And they've had that at the moderate and the higher end resorts.
Right.
This was new for us
at the value resort. So it was that was a nice touch to see. So,
all right. So we'll give them a plus for that one then. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the technology that Disney is throwing at some of these issues. We'll be right back. For over 7 years, the Second Sith Empire has been the premier community guild in the online game Star Wars: The Old Republic, with hundreds of friendly and helpful active members, a weekly schedule of nightly events, annual guild meet and greets, and an active community both on the web and on Discord. The Second Sith Empire is more than your typical gaming group. We're family. Join us on the Starforge server for nightly events such as operations, flashpoints, world boss hunts, Star Wars trivia, guild lottery, and much more. Visit us on the web today at www.thesecondsithempire.com. Welcome back to Insights into Entertainment. Today we are dissecting Disney. So one of the things that Disney has done to try to enhance the experience is go the technology route. And that technology route is apps on your smartphone at this point in time and bands and all that stuff. So right now, the Disney World app that they have with their nice little 50th anniversary logo on there is the central part of that technology push. You pretty much need it for anything you want to do, booking rides, checking times, getting into your room, pretending to call the front office because it doesn't work for that.
Your photo pass.
Yeah.
Reservations.
I have to say that I was very unimpressed with the app. I found it to be poorly designed. Someone looked like someone gave a five-year-old a box of crowns and asked him to design an interface. It was confusing. It was not obvious or intuitive to use. Finding the information that I wanted just to go in and look up times or to look up available slots for reservations for different extra services like building a lightsaber or a droid, you couldn't find that stuff. And the whole thing was predicated upon this whole idea of build your experience. And in order to do that, you pick the things you want, and that's all that you saw. If you ever wanted to stop outside of that, you had to go back through the entire wizard and reset all your settings in there to see anything. And I thought it was a terrible experience. Right down to the point that you bought one of the new Magic Band Pluses, and what happened with that? Tell us what happened with that.
So I wasn't going to buy the new Magic Band, but the last day we were in a park, happened to be the Magic Kingdom, and at Magic Kingdom they had a Haunted Mansion one. So of course, me being the Haunted Mansion person that I am, all right, fine, I'll get it, you know, just to have it, whatever. And we charge it while we were in Hall of Presidents. You had already bought one and you had no issues getting it to sync up. Everything was fine. I go to sync it up and I get an error, and I try and go through again, and then it tells me that the app has a bug, and to uninstall and reinstall the app to try and fix it. I do that, doesn't work. I try taking, because there's a QR code, so first I try, linking it by
the wireless
by link. The wireless link. That didn't work. Then I tried taking a picture of the QR code to do it that way. That doesn't work. Then I even tried entering the code manually.
Which is a challenge,
entering,
considering how small those numbers are.
Right. Entering the code, nothing. As soon as I would do it, it would fail and again tell me that I had a bug. So by that point, I was just fed up. And after spending almost $50 on it, I went back to the store to return it. And of course, the cast member there was like, oh, well, if you do decide to, you know, purchase another one, we do have tech support people, you know, located throughout the park that would be, you know, willing to help you. And by that point, it was already our last day. You know, maybe if it was our first day in the park and I had, you know, the whole rest of the week to worry about it. But this was literally our last day.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'm done.
Know, it wasn't the band itself. It was the app.
Right.
So that's really where I think the biggest complaint was, because there was a lot of things with that app. You know, the calling the front office.
Well, when, that when was our phone calling the front
work,
desk.
We
yes.
tried to call the front desk. You can get to it through the app if you could find it, because it wasn't easy to find.
Right. And that, again, that was another thing, another challenge of things weren't where you thought they would be.
Right.
If you did a search, it would eventually find it, but it was like, I shouldn't have to be searching every time.
It was almost like they did no user testing of this.
And then that was the whole thing too, because when we were having the issues with the bathroom, I was like, all right, well, let me just call the front desk. And I'm like, and I couldn't even like Google a phone number for the front desk either. And then the one day I actually just walked up to the front desk and they were like, oh, well, you could have just done it on your app. I'm like, no, I couldn't. And she didn't believe me. And she walked me through it and was like, oh, okay, that is a problem. Yeah. No shit. Like, I know it's a problem. Like, I'm pretty tech savvy. I understand not everybody is tech savvy and you have to talk to, you know, every guest like we're an idiot, but it really wasn't there. And then, so you can't even say, oh, well, it's because you had an Android, because you even had the same problem and you have an Apple phone. Right. So it clearly wasn't user error.
No,
it's something with your app.
It was app specific.
Right, right.
So some of the other things I found were an issue was you could look up wait times for rides.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't accurate. I was, when you guys were going around and doing things, I was riding around the scooter looking at wait times on the app.
Okay.
Oh my God. They were 15 minutes off, 20 minutes off.
So they weren't updating
as
often.
They were not done in real time on the app itself, which makes the app useless at that point when it comes to that function.
Right. Because especially if that's what you're determining, oh, well, this wait's only, you know, or this wait's 60 minutes, but yet the wait might only be 15 minutes if you actually went there, but then you don't want to go there because.
The entire purpose of the Genie experience is to, you don't need a fast pass because we can tell you when these times trend here and it's completely wrong. I lost my magic band at one point in time because it was on a little holder on my original one. So we kind of panicked a little bit there. We were able to get the ticket to get into the park, but I didn't have a way to get into the room.
Right.
So I was able to use the app for that and it worked. But it was awkward. It's like four screens in, you know, you don't know where on the phone it's transmitting the so I'm moving the phone all around the thing to try to get the thing to work.
Right.
It scans the first time and it goes green, but it won't unlock. Well, there's a prompt on the screen that you don't get an audible prompt on where you have to accept the ability to unlock the door at that point.
Okay. Yeah. See, I never tried doing it that way. So
yeah, it was not good. And the other problem is they don't have any free charging stations that you can use around the park.
Right.
If you want to pay for them, there
I was going to say they have the charging rods that I know. And that was something that we knew going in from various other people who had been there and various other YouTube videos and things that said, if you're going, you're going to be on your phone a whole lot more. Make sure you have some sort of battery backup so that you can charge your phone. And honestly, there was only for me, there was one day that I had to charge my phone, but I really didn't even need to. But that was also because we really weren't using the phone as much.
Well, and we'll talk about that, you know, in a second,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And the last big complaint that I have about the app is they have this device where they're tracking the vast majority of people because you're dependent on it to use the park.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not using the data. We wind up outside mm-hmm. waiting for a bus. It took us almost an hour
right.
to get a bus when the entire line was full waiting for buses. How are you not using this? You're tracking these people.
Right.
And you're tracking them for the purpose of taking a picture and tying it to their account.
Mm-hmm.
How are you not using that information to dispatch buses?
Right.
Or crowd control for different rides? Like, I don't understand why you would have all this information and then not right. use it for a constructive purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They're using it to try to sell you stuff. And
right.
that's all they're using it for.
Right.
And that's a huge insult to the mm-hmm. to the guests.
Yeah. No, I agree. Especially when it comes to the end of the night where you know everybody is tired, everybody is cranky,
yep.
why you would have all these empty buses. Now, granted, maybe you didn't have enough bus drivers, but maybe that's what you need to plan, is that you always know at the end of the night you're going to have a rush of people wanting to get out. Why not put that extra
Well, and in the past,
staff?
They've had instances where you've had cast members at the bus stops.
Mm-hmm.
And the cast members are calling in the dispatch saying, I need a bus for this resort.
Right.
I need a bus for this resort.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have that.
Right.
And they didn't need it because they have the technology. They just chose not to use the
right.
technology.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that massive scam that is Genie Plus.
Oh, Genie Plus.
So tell us how much we paid for that and how much we used it.
So we paid $15 per person per day that we were in a park on a regular park ticket. So we only went to the park for 3 days, but the one day was the Halloween party. And because of it being a special ticket event, you don't use Genie Plus on that day. So we only had to pay for Genie Plus for 2 of the days that we were in the park. So $45, so $90 total for the 2 days for the three of us, because each individual person has to have it for however many days. And since we hadn't used it before, we figured, you know what? Let's try it. Let's give it a try and see if it makes a difference or helps us out.
We took one for the team so we could review it for the podcast.
Right. And granted, there are lots of pros and cons. You know, there were a couple of friends of mine who had used it before, and they said, oh, it takes a couple of days to get used to it. I'm like, well, I only have 2 days to get used to it. So I either need it to work or not work. And the big push before used to be, you know, buying it ahead of time and making sure you had it, even though you couldn't really do anything with it until the day of. And now there's some other changes that they're making to it. And again, I'm not really 100% sure of what they all are because we're not there anymore. So I'm not really paying attention as to what those changes are. But I know one of the major changes was that you didn't have to purchase it until that day if you wanted to get it. So again,
it doesn't.
Right. So
how many rides did we get on using that system?
Okay. So in Epcot, which was our first day, we did the Remy ride with it.
We did it with that, or was that with a virtual queue?
No, the only thing that the virtual queue, you could do with the virtual queue was the Guardians of the Galaxy, and that we didn't get. And that I woke up at 6:45, so because that they had a 7 o'clock and a 1 o'clock for the virtual queue. And I got up at 6:45 to try and get a 7 o'clock, and by 7 o'clock.
Well, we already knew the virtual queues were broken.
Right. So that was.
So we got one ride in Epcot?
Well, we technically had two because we ended up getting Soarin', and then you didn't want to go on Soarin', so we canceled it, and we ended up doing the single rider, which we didn't know was available.
Well, and that's another thing I want to talk about, but when we get to the
park. So we did have one, but then since you decided not to go on the ride and they had that available, we used that in place of it. So we had gotten rid of that, and then that was when we made the Remy reservation, because the other thing, too, is when you make the reservation on the Genie Plus now, you can only have one at a time.
Right.
And then once the time frame starts for that reservation or that lightning lane, that's when you can make an additional lightning lane through your Genie Plus.
All right. So we paid $15. We paid $30.
$45.
Well, $45, because I didn't go on Remy, so I'm not counting myself for that. So for $30, you went on one ride in Epcot.
Mm-hmm.
For $30.
Mm-hmm.
And how much did we pay for park tickets?
More than $30.
$120, maybe?
I think it was about that. I don't remember what.
So $30 for one ride.
Mm-hmm.
Then we did Studios. How many rides did we get on with Genie Plus with that?
We did... Maddie and I did Toy Story Mania with it. We did Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Coaster with that. What else did we do? We didn't need it for... No, we did use it for Smuggler's Run.
For the second run through.
For the second run, because again, we did the...
The solo rider.
So we got three. Did we get a fourth one? I think we only got three.
Okay.
So we got three with that.
So that's now $60 for four rides.
Mm-hmm.
Was it worth it?
Probably not.
This is $60. On top of $120 per person per ticket to get in to ride the rides anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're talking about $150 per person for Genie Plus and a ticket. And Genie Plus got you four rides. That to me is a scam.
Mm.
The other thing that I found was interesting is we got into Magic Kingdom early on Friday because of the party.
Right.
And it was still regular admission in there.
Mm-hmm.
We walked past Peter Pan.
Right.
And the Lightning Lane. And the Lightning Lane was easily a 20-minute wait.
Mm-hmm.
At Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose of the Lightning Lane if it's a 20-minute wait?
Right.
This is the problem that I have.
Well... When the regular ride is a 60-minute wait, a 20-minute wait is nothing. But again,
still,
yes, we know.
That's not lightning. I'm sorry. Right.
I understand that.
Lightning is I walk in and should be able to get right on the ride.
Right.
Especially when I'm paying for it.
Right.
What rides were not eligible for Genie Plus?
I don't know if there was anything.
Besides Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy, because that was the virtual queue.
Right, so you could only do virtual. Was Rise of the Resistance one you had to pay to get on, or was that eligible with Lightning Plus?
I think it might have been, because I think what they do with their certain big ticket rides, you know, kind of their e-ticket rides, is they offer the additional pay for me.
Right.
Lightning Lane, and there's so many of those that they put out, and then there's so many regular Lightning Lanes. And
so here's where the real scam is.
Oh, yeah.
So pay $15 for Genie Plus, unless you want to go on this other ride, and then pay another $15 to get on that ride.
Right. And it's not always $15, because depending on...
They change the rate based on
right, the time of year. And, so it could be $20 to go. Okay. But all the ones that we saw where they were an additional fee. So like the Guardians of the Galaxy, we didn't get the virtual queue. But now they didn't. So with that, it was only virtual queue or paid Lightning Lane. There was no standby, meaning you couldn't just go and wait for 2 hours on a line to get on the ride.
Thank God for that.
Right. So it was either you got in the virtual queue for free, free, or you paid $15 to get a time spot.
Comparing Genie, the scam of Genie Plus, to FastPass.
Oh my God! There's no comparison between.
Okay, I think that ends the argument on that one. Then.
Right there was. I personally didn't. Now, if we had done a full Magic Kingdom day, I could see Magic Kingdom.
Well, the problem I have with that is you can only reserve one at a time.
Right.
And you have a 1 hour cooldown after you've either canceled it or used it.
I don't think we did.
In the app you do.
Because I was actually able, because the one.
Might not have been on canceling, but.
I don't know, because there was one that I had one reservation and I actually had the next one and it was actually overlapping because the one was from like 1 to 2 and the next one was from like 1:30 to 2:30 and I was actually surprised that it...
Well, then they may have changed that.
Or it could have been a fluke. I had a work
colleague that was down there 2 months ago and said that was one of the problems they ran into.
So maybe that was something that...
So let's move on from Genie Plus, because if I stay on that, my blood pressure is going to go up. Real quick, before we go to break, Magic Band Plus.
Okay.
Is it worth the price? It was about $50 with tax.
I wouldn't have done it.
How do you feel about the fact that you need to charge the thing? It takes 90 minutes to charge. When you first buy it, you got to charge it.
You know what? I already have my watch that needs to charge, so that was kind of a... Oh, okay.
Well, and that's the other thing. It's a proprietary charger. Right,
and that was the thing that you said was, oh, great, so now if I lose this charger, I'm never going to be able to charge my Magic Band again.
But they sell extra chargers
there
now. But
they do sell extra chargers for you.
But God forbid you give me a device that can charge on an Apple charger or an Android charger or a standard Qi charger.
Right, and the other thing, too, was, yeah, it's cute that you walk past, you know, so they have the different statues and stuff, and if you wave your band in front of it, sometimes the statue,
or if you walk past it, or if you look at it wrong, you have no idea how to trigger these things,
right? Because there's nothing that I found. I'm sure probably somebody has put together a YouTube video saying, oh, here are the different things that your Magic Band will do. And the thing is, they've been doing things like this for years, back when they had the 100 anniversary, you know, the 100 year anniversary or the 100th birthday for Walt Disney, they had these special pins that you could get.
Right.
And when you would go on certain rides, the pins would light up. Or if you were watching the fireworks, they'd light up. That, you know, so this is kind of the same thing.
They're vinyl. They're like the old ones were. So they're very sweaty. They're very hot to wear.
Right.
Mine fell off 3 times.
Right.
After having put it on, I had to have you carry it.
Right.
Because I was afraid I was going to lose it.
Right.
What else did I have down here?
That it didn't have any sound.
No sound. So, like, the thing would vibrate and the thing would light up, but, like, you have no idea why.
Right, because when we were walking out of Magic Kingdom, we didn't walk past anything special that I knew, and all of a sudden I'm like, why is the band...
Right.
You know, I already have enough things on my watch to notify me of different things. I didn't need it.
It's almost like, hey, this is a really cool technology, let's sell it. And nobody was like, what are we going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose of it? Oh, yeah. Just sell it. We'll figure it out later.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when the Magic Bands came out, they had a true purpose.
Right. And I could see if we were annual pass holders or we were still DVC and we'd be going down a couple of times a year. All right, sure, I'll get the new band, because that's the other thing, too, is that no longer as a resort guest do you get a free Magic Band, because that was what they kind of moved away from, the room keys.
Right. The crack dealers at Disney gave you the first dose, and now you got to pay for the rest.
Well, fortunately, we have enough Magic Bands. We don't need we don't need to buy a $50 one. So,
all right. So the technology to me seems more like a scam than anything else, and it's a money grab. I think we can kind of agree on that to a large extent.
Sure. We'll go with that.
All right, let's take our last break, and we'll come back, and we'll chop up the park experience. We'll be right back.
Insights into Teens, a podcast series exploring the issues and challenges of today's youth. Talking to real teens about real teen problems. Explore issues from braces to puberty, social anxiety to financial responsibility. Each week, we talk about the topics concerning today's youth. We look at how the issues affect teens, how to cope with these issues, and how parents, friends, and loved ones can help teens handle these challenges. Check out our video episodes on youtube.com/insightsintothings. Catch our audio versions on podcast.insightsintoteens.com or on the web at insightsintothings.com.
All right, we're back bitching about Disney parks. Here we go.
It's going to be such a great podcast.
So we've got three to complain about, and I'll start off with Epcot. So we're still at the point where we have to make a reservation to get in the park.
Correct.
One would think the reason for that was to regulate how many people were in the park, you would think, right?
You would think.
Still packed and crowded as hell. Don't understand that. Got to make a reservation, but I got people crawling all over me still. Someone needs to explain that one. Huge sections of the park are shut down because of the construction that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't unusual for Disney. The problem is it requires you to completely reroute how you get from point A to point B.
Correct.
In a park that has literally the longest walk between rides already.
Mm-hmm.
So it's forcing you to extend those rides where they probably could have been a little more strategic in how they set those barriers up. And the fact that you have to order ahead for food now because you can't even stand in line to buy food almost at any of the restaurants, the quick serve restaurants.
Well, we actually didn't run into any problems with any of the quick serve. They were still
good.
We were still able to, it wasn't mandatory because I know when they first opened after COVID, that was the only way you could.
All right, then I'll save that complaint for studios because I have a very specific complaint about
right.
that in studios.
So Epcot, we really didn't do any, because the food and wine was going on. So that you had to go to the little individual booths, and they weren't really that busy. And then after that, we kind of cut our day early because that was our first day in the park. It was extremely hot, and there was so much lack of shaded areas for us to go and hide that we just kind of called it a day just because we were just overheated by that point. So we really didn't have a big quick service meal. We just kind of snacked.
So we weren't there long enough for it to really be a problem.
Right. Okay. Right.
So then we go to Hollywood Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Again, crowded. Don't know why. The restriction to the quick serve, I had a problem with here because it was hot. Normally when it's hot, I'll go into the ABC commissary just to cool off, sit in a corner somewhere, relax. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get in if I didn't have a food order.
Mm-hmm.
They literally had bouncers sitting outside the entrance, not letting people in.
Right.
How do you do that? It's like getting a reservation at McDonald's. It's idiotic.
I didn't understand that. But you did eventually get in because you said you were just going
into... They stuck me in a literally between two pillars to charge the scooter.
When I went to go find you, I'm like, where the heck is he?
Now, I give total props to all the cast members that were over there because they were making sure I was okay. They were offering me water. The one woman comes over and asks if I wanted to have a cupcake. So... the staff was fantastic, but the policies, I think, were terrible.
That's, I think, what it is it's the policies that other people put into place, and now you have these cast members that are the ones enforcing it and are like, ugh.
So the other thing that bugged me was I was very much looking forward to going to Galaxy's Edge, going to Doc Ondar's, and shopping and buying some of the unique stuff, and they didn't have Jack in there.
Right.
Not only did they not have anything cool, new, or interesting, they had a 20-minute wait in line to look at the lightsabers that they had in the case if you wanted to buy something.
Mm-hmm.
A 20-minute wait to spend $200 and some.
Yeah, that is crazy.
That's ridiculous. And they had a guy sitting there enforcing, almost like he had a cattle prod, making sure people were bunched up on top of each other because... the lines were packed so tight.
Right, right.
That was such a turnoff for me. It really was. What else did we have? Finding a seat at the quick serve was like, you know, almost impossible. You had people just circling around waiting for someone to get up.
Right, right. Now, we did eat at the docking station.
Right.
And that, again, didn't have a problem, you know, because they asked when you got there, did you do a mobile order or are you placing an order? Because they had two separate lines.
Right. They let you get in to order something, which was nice because I could at least get in and cool off.
Right. And then, you know, just like, you know, the quick serve. But we've had that before where there weren't always tables available depending on what time.
Well, before, a quick serve was always the way that we went because
right.
the mobile ordering was how we went because that was our secret weapon.
Right, right. And now everybody does it. So of course you need the app to do it and
right.
you know, but it worked out. We, you know, we still got a meal. We still had a table, you know,
couldn't book anything with Savi's workshop to build a lightsaber.
Well, and honestly, if we had tried to book it when we had made our reservations, we probably would have.
I shouldn't have to book spending $400.
I understand that.
6 months in advance. I shouldn't have to do that.
Right. But that's the thing is when we went 2 years ago, we made those reservations as soon as we could make them and got them.
My biggest concern here was I couldn't even see that there weren't reservations or how to make that. There wasn't even an option. Right. It took you a while to find
because
that.
I had to search. I did a search for Savi's and.
Right.
Again, it was a whole secret thing because if I didn't know what to call it,
right.
I wouldn't have been able to find it. There was nothing obvious. Again, you had to search, but you had to know what you were searching
right.
for. So
there were far fewer character interactions at Galaxy's Edge this time than the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you look, last time we were there, there was a character. You were bumping into him left and right.
Right.
There were two or three.
Kylo Ren and some stormtroopers.
Right.
That was
and
about
it.
And
at one point in time, Chewbacca and somebody else was up on a platform somewhere.
Oh, see, I didn't
somewhere.
Even see them.
You couldn't interact with them.
Mm.
They were basically right. up there just waving to people like it was a parade float.
Right, right. Well, that even happened when we were in Epcot. Pooh Bear was behind a fence.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they stuck him out in the sun.
In the sun,
too.
The poor Pooh Bear. Man. He was melting, I'm sure. Yeah. So.
The other issue I had was solo time, solo rider times, not single rider. It was solo rider at Smuggler's Run, which
right.
I thought was funny.
Right.
They don't publish them.
Right.
You didn't know. The only way we knew it was a 5 minute single rider line was because we overheard someone say it. And we're like, excuse me, how long is a single rider? And they're like, 5 minutes. I'm like, all right, let's go.
Right.
And like one other person did the same thing. And it's like, given how bad your application works for booking these rides, how are you not? It's not up on the signs.
Right.
Nobody's out there. They have one cast member come out and start saying, hey, 5 minute solo rider, single rider ride if mm-hmm. anybody wants to get on.
Right.
How do you not have a provision for that?
Right. And that's something. So going back to Epcot, Test Track has been a single rider ride for as long as I can remember. So most people know about it. So they have, you know, three separate entrances for it. And then, of course, as soon as you get close, they're like, oh, don't forget, you know, your party will be separated, blah, 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 blah. And you go on. I had only known about Soarin' having it from watching somebody else's video. So if I didn't watch that other person's video, I wouldn't have known. And I think at Soarin', they're still doing it as a test. It's not official. And again, we had gotten it as the one lightning lane. And when we went up, I was like, oh, are you guys still doing? Oh, look. And they basically just have like a cast member holding a sign saying single rider. And then you go on. Smuggler's Run, I wasn't sure if they were doing it until we got to the front of it. And we're like, oh, okay, great. And we, you know, I think it took us longer to walk the whole entrance.
That's just poor planning
yeah.
and poor execution on Disney's part.
Mm-hmm.
That's a major selling point that you could be using
Absolutely.
To enhance people's
yeah.
Visits there,
mm-hmm.
especially with the crappy system that you put in place instead of you
right.
know, the fast passes.
Right.
So we, at one point in time, wanted to go over to Star Wars Launch Bay
mm-hmm.
and cool off, look at the stuff they had there, see if there's mm-hmm. anything to shop for, and it was literally a ghost town.
Right.
They shut down the Little Mermaid thing that was there. They shut
right,
down
well,
the
Little
gift
Mermaid,
shop that was there.
Right, Little Mermaid has been shut down since.
But everything was shut down. The only thing
right.
that was open was a couple of the Play Disney thing.
Right, but they did have Star Wars characters. That was still open.
Yeah, if you walked that. 5 miles back.
Well, there, that was the whole thing. That right.
They, because they weren't advertising it anymore.
Right. Well, no, they had the sign when you got to the area. So you had to know. But yeah, that was the whole thing, because the Launch Bay area, there was the whole shop there, and then you'd walk through the shop, and right, then they'd and have the characters and artifacts from the rot,
but again,
from
the movies and things. It was like just a completely forgotten area.
Right. It was just kind of, and the other thing too was it closed at 5.
Right.
So then that whole section, even though there wasn't a whole lot to the section to begin with, became even more of a ghost town. Because again, you already had the Little Mermaid that they haven't reopened Little Mermaid yet. So the little princess store right next to it, that shut down. Then there's a Play Disney gift shop that hasn't opened yet. So you had the couple of characters, but no gift shop. And then you had,
like, at that point in time, just shut the whole area down.
Right,
and
exactly.
Block it off.
Exactly.
You're just, it's ridiculous to even have a couple of things open.
Right.
Like, I went to get the scooter. I could have swore I saw a tumbleweed blow through. It was so deserted over there.
Well, the squirrels were more entertaining over there.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah, it was
really
kind of sad. And the other thing, too, was like Maddie and I did the Muppet movie. And there's a Muppet gift shop as soon as you get out. And I was like, all right, as soon as we get out, we'll go into the, you know, gift shop to cool off. And that wasn't open, too. So that was really kind of the first, you know, seeing a lot of the gift shops that weren't open. Because in Epcot, Epcot doesn't have as many little gift shops along the way, because you have all of the different countries,
right, you know,
so all of those were open. So we really didn't see the effect of things until we got, you know, to Epcot.
All right, 5 minutes, Magic Kingdom, and then we're going to summarize.
Okay.
Go ahead. you go.
Okay, so for the Magic Kingdom, that was our Halloween party. As you had mentioned before, with the Halloween party, they let you get into the park 3 hours before your park time. So, of course, there's, you know, tons of lines to try and get in, everybody to get in. And, of course, because of the holiday party, you have a special band, so it takes longer to get in. And, of course, the storms are coming, so you got people that are trying to leave the park, people trying to come in the park. So, of course, very crowded, you know, at the beginning of it. And it always seems to be kind of disorganized no matter what time you go. So I don't know if it's something where if we actually went closer to 7 o'clock or closer to 6 o'clock, if we wouldn't run into that or not.
Well, and what would make sense if they did that is you do a rope drop type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for all the people who are coming in for the party, you get them checked in, you get their bands on in that time ahead of time,
because
they're all queuing up.
Yeah, because that happened at...
And then you have a rope drop when you let them in.
Because that happened when we did, was it when we did the Christmas party?
I think it was a Christmas party.
Where you actually checked in at the Polynesian.
Right.
And you got your band and everything, so you were already checked in, so as soon as you got off the monorail, you went right in. So they need to kind of go back to that system of, you know, checking in someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, though, that their security system has gotten better because they don't do every bag being checked.
Right.
So you kind of go through a metal detector, some sort of scanning thing.
I don't know if that's better or if it's just more lax to get people through.
I don't know. But it seemed to go smoother. So that was at least a positive that I saw. But obviously here was another instance. Now, again, don't know how much of it was because it was the holiday party or not. But again, we saw a lot of different shops that were closed. But again, not every shop is always open for the holiday party.
Well, and some of the shops we know were closed because they turned them into other things.
Right, exactly. And then some rides or certain attractions, they turn over to trick-or-treating you know, areas. The one thing that was bizarre was, you know, because again, they have all these different trick-or-treating sections, and they didn't start handing out candy until 7 o'clock. And at one point, we were in Tomorrowland, and it was 6 o'clock, and there was a line forming
for
people.
And they were letting people form a line, which was...
To wait for candy. for free candy.
For a couple pieces of candy you'd get.
So we were just like, no, we're going to go on some other rides. So that was kind of crazy. But once the party kind of started and also once the rain kind of died down, we really didn't have too many issues. It kind of spread out because then you have the people, because there are people that go to the party just to go and see the specialty characters that only come out for the holiday party.
Right.
Then you have people that are just doing the trick-or-treating. You know, then you have some people that are there to see the special Halloween parade and to see the special Halloween fireworks. So it kind of helps to break it up, because that's when Maddie was able to get on Splash Mountain in 5 minutes. Big Thunder Mountain in 5 minutes. I think Space Mountain was 20 minutes. I think that was her longest wait. Haunted Mansion, I think it was about 20 minutes, maybe even less for us to get on that.
So let's summarize before we leave here.
Sure.
Give me a score, 1 out of 10, 10 being the highest, of your overall Disney experience. Give me that artificially high score you're going to give me.
7.
Really? Wow, I would not have thought it would have been that low.
Really?
Yeah.
You would have thought I would have given it higher.
I thought you would have been an 8 or a 9.
Ha ha!
I'd probably give it about a 5.
Mm-hmm.
And really, my problem was more with management and execution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, poor planning, poor... And you can blame it on the fact that they haven't brought all their staff back. Whatever right. You want to blame it mm-hmm. on. But there's ways to compensate for that. And to me, it was a disappointing experience.
The one highlight of our trip, and I think we can both agree on this.
Steve from Brooklyn. Absolutely. Steve from Brooklyn. He was so close to restoring my faith in Disney. He was so optimistic. He was the best bus driver we ever had.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He was so good, I almost want to use Facebook again so I can follow him. Almost. But Facebook's too evil.
Right. So fortunately, I'm already friends with him. So, yeah. And I had been friends with him already. And when he pulled up, I was like...
That was a very...
I'm Facebook friends with you. That was a magical
experience. And I don't use that term very often mm-hmm. for Disney, but that was a magical experience. And I thank him for that.
Yes.
All right, that is all we had for today, and probably it's more than enough. We kind of cut some of my complaints short because I, you know, do have a heart condition with blood pressure and everything. So, before we do go, though, I would like to once again invite our listening and viewing audience to subscribe to the podcast. You can find audio versions listed as Insights in Entertainment. Audio and video versions of all of our network's podcasts can be found under Insights into Things. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, etc. I would also ask you to write in, give us your feedback. You can email us at comments@insightsintothings.com.
You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/insights_things.
We do stream 5 days a week on Twitch at twitch.tv/insightsintothings.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightsintothingspodcast.
We're also on YouTube at youtube.com/insightsintothings.
We're also on Instagram at instagram.com/insightsintothings.
Or you can find all that and much more on our official website at insightsintothings.com. That's it. Another one in the books.
Have a good week, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.